This case is number 06-1294, Regal Electronics against Pulse Engineering. Mr. Leach.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I'd like to turn first to the word turn, which is the issue on which this appeal principally turns, and look again at the Court's construction of that term as always implying some kind of unity of structure. A thing itself changes direction. Regal, of course, disagrees and argues that the intersection or junction between two things can form what can be described as a turn. And I would like to add a couple of additional dictionary references at this point. I believe the Court at any time can refer to these. So to complete the record as far as common sense definitions of the word turn, I would like to refer the Court to first the Oxford English Dictionary, which is available for free online at www.askoxford.com. Under the definitions of turn used as a noun, the third example given is a place where a road meets or branches off another. Below, there was a lot of discussion about whether one road meeting another road at an intersection could constitute a turn. The district court felt that it wasn't a turn unless the one road itself changed direction. So I think there's a discord between the district court's construction and the editors of the Oxford English Dictionary. The next reference I'd like to make is to the Encarta Dictionary, which is a Microsoft publication available.
Let me just interrupt you at this point and accept the definition you've just given us. Is the relevance of turn and the argument you just made, is this relevant to the vitiation and the DOE issue in this case? What's the first step?
Primarily, in terms of literal infringement, if the word turn refers to the right angle that is visible between the contact wires and the point at which the wires intersect the vertical plane of the plastic block. And I think at this point it might be helpful to look at a picture. Page 443 of the joint appendix shows the figures of the patent with little angles circled. There's two possible right angles that could be designated by the word turn. One is the point at which the contact wire intersects the vertical plane of the plastic supporting block. And the next, the upper figures on this page designate the first turn, which I'll call the intersection turn. And the lower figures designate what appears to be a bend in the wires.
So this is relevant if we don't think that soldering the wires at a right angle is a turn.
Only secondarily, Your Honor. Because as a matter of literal infringement, we don't need to look to the doctrine of equivalence, and we don't need to look to whether there's a right angle that can be constructed of two wires, because the angle at issue is not any angle in the wires. It's an angle formed between the wires and the block.
Let's assume we reject that. Let's assume we affirm the claim construction of the court. Are you still left with, in your view, a DOE, a doctrine of equivalence argument with respect to vitiation?
Absolutely.
How?
I believe so. But before I get there, I would like to address one other element of that analysis, which is the prosecution history. And this plays in a little bit to your question, I think. It will later. The original claim application provided for a plurality of wires that was supported past a right angle turn by a plastic block. If you look at the picture, you can see the right angle I'm talking about, the intersection angle. There's a plurality of wires. There's where it enters the block, at this intersection angle. Past that intersection angle, there is support for the wires in the block. So to say the wires are supported past a right angle by a vertically oriented plastic block makes sense only with respect to the intersection angle, which, by the way, the court also ruled is a limitation of the invention. The district court and Regal agreed this intersection angle has to be a right angle. But let's look at the original claim language with respect to the second angle, the wire bend angle. Is support provided past the bend in the wires? If we look at this lower picture, we see that no, support is provided well in advance of that right angle. Over, under, to the side, above, below, beneath, all around that bend in the wire, there's support. Another point is looking at the spirit and description of what the invention will be in the specification. It would be clear to one skilled in the art that only one of these angles matters, and that's the intersection angle. Now, to address Judge Prost's question about whether we are left with a doctrine of equivalence argument, even if Judge Ware's construction of turn were affirmed, I think absolutely yes. And that is because we did not disclaim, for purposes of the all limitations rule, a right angle that could be composed of two different structures. That was the court's...
You mean two different wires?
Two different wires.
But how can, if a wire is coming up this way and a wire is coming this way and the right angle is formed here, and that's what we're talking about here,
okay,
how can neither one of those wires is turning, right?
Well, that's true, but now we're using turn as a verb again. And I think the patent is clearly using the term turn as a noun to describe a shape. It is it's the shape of the insert assembly. The insert assembly is defined in the specification as an assembly of a plurality of wires, which includes a plastic block.
So you're saying that because the plain language is by a right angle turn, that doesn't mean that any particular wire has to engage in that single wire, has to satisfy that turn.
The word by in by a right angle turn has been construed as near. So we're looking by the court, and that nobody's disagreed with that construction on this appeal. And it makes sense, Your Honor, because the original claim language said past, you know, support was provided past a right angle turn. The word past was dropped, and another preposition, by, was added. And there's a good reason for that, which I can explain if the court is interested. In fact, I would like to do that, because if we look at
before you get to that, let me just see if I understand. Is your equivalence argument and the fact that you're arguing here, or are you not, that vitiation is not compelled or required or proper? You're saying that no claim term is vitiated.
I am saying that, precisely.
Okay.
Because.
Okay. Because even if two wires are used and neither one of them actually covers the right angle, it's still an equivalent and it doesn't vitiate any kind of term like right angle turn?
Not at all, Your Honor. I think that if you're talking about plumbing, you take, you know...
Not at all, what? Wait, are you just reading my question? Or are you agreeing with me or disagreeing with me?
I'm not sure if it was proper to agree or disagree, but let me explain where I'm coming from. I don't think that because neither wire contains a bend, that there is no right angle, nevertheless. A right angle can be formed of two things put together. And to call that shape, that right angle shape, a turn is understandable in English, According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the intersection of two streets can be described as a turn. Also, the Encarta Dictionary uses the word junction as a synonym for turn. And the example they give is the third turn on your left, exactly the example Riegel has used. So if we look at the word right angle turn and say, what is that? What it really is, and if you look at one of these connectors, you see that the whole insert assembly, together the wires, the block, the components, that is all what is referred to as the molded insert. And so when the patentee described the shape of this assembly as having a right angle turn, it's the turn between the wires and the vertical face of the block. We can see that by looking at the prosecution history, looking at what could pass possibly mean in connection with some bend in the wire. We can see that by looking at the purpose of the invention. What purpose does a right angle bend in the wire have in the context of this invention? None. It could have a curve. It could have a spiral. It could loop twice, or it could simply go straight and attach to the signal conditioning.
But the problem you have is the claim language says right angle turn. It doesn't say right angle or spiral or whatever, and that right angle is irrelevant. The language of the claim is a right angle turn.
But in construing the language of the claim, the construction that most naturally aligns with the patent's description of what the invention will be is always the correct construction. And I think that the fact that turn has a sensical meaning designated intersection, and the fact that the prosecution history supports Riegel's contention, and the fact that the purpose of the invention, which would be clear to one skilled in the art, also supports Riegel's contention, is substantial evidence that the real turn in question is the first turn, the turn between the wires and the block.
Do you want to save some rebuttal time?
Yes, I think at this point, if there are no further questions, I'd like to reserve the remainder.
Let's hear from the other side.
Thank you.
May it please the court.
Mr. Meskin.
I think Mr. Leet is mixing apples and oranges here. We're talking first about claim construction and what the proper terminology or construction for term is. If this court upholds the lower court's construction of term, then we move to literal infringement and infringement under the doctrine of equivalence. The arguments that Mr. Leet is posing today is going back and forth between both of those issues, talking about a horizontal wire making a right angle with a vertical wire presumes that the court is going to uphold the district court's decision that the bend is in the wire.
But Mr. Rackett, if we agree with Mr. Lee that whether you have one wire that bends or two wires that are soldered together and have the same shape, that both of those are within the ambit of turn, is that it? Does he then prevail?
No, he does not, Your Honor. The claim language provides that the right angle turn is in the plurality of wires. The court has construed plurality of wires to be the horizontal wires extending across the top of the connector that actually make contact with the plug. The second wire that Mr. Leet is referring to, the vertical wire, is part of the signal conditioning part. That's a totally different element in the claim. The right angle turn must be in the plurality of wires, which are horizontal, which pass from the rear of the connector horizontally through the housing to the front of the connector.
Well, once they're soldered, the current flows as if they were one wire.
It might, Your Honor, but it would then vitiate, in the case that the court upholds the court's lower court's construction of turn, and the turn does mean then a turn in the plurality of wires, then we have a vitiation situation, which I think the law is that it might...
What's being vitiated?
It's vitiating the right angle turn in the plurality of wires. If the court finds an equivalent to exist in a straight wire, which is what we're talking about, Mr. Lee is saying that an equivalent will exist with a straight wire, since it's connected to the signal conditioning part, a completely separate element, and it accomplishes the right angle turn, then the public who is reading this claim and sees that there has to be some sort of turn in the horizontal wire will be misled, because then an equivalent will replace a straight wire with a wire that has a right angle bend in the plurality of wires, only in the horizontal wire. So, obviously I'm not going to argue that you're going to get a flow of electrons down in a right angle if you connect two wires together. But the claim provides that there is a plurality of wires forming part of a contact spring assembly, that there is a signal conditioning part that's connected to those wires, and then terminals connected to the signal conditioning part. If we start combining the signal conditioning part with the horizontal wire to get a right angle turn in the horizontal wire, not only are you vitiating the requirement for some sort of turn in the horizontal wire, but you're also violating your elements rule.
If it's equivalent, it's not vitiated. If you have two wires soldered together at right angles, then you are vitiating the wire with a right angle turn. You may or may not have an equivalent based on the rules of equivalency. I can't say that anything's vitiated.
Whether it's an equivalent or not, Your Honor, is not reached in our case because it vitiates the element. We have three elements in our claim, in the claim of the patent suit. We have the horizontal plurality of wires, we've got a signal conditioning element, and we've got terminals. We have four elements, a horizontal wire, a bend in the horizontal wire, signal conditioning, and the terminal. Yep. Now, if we say, okay, forget, just take the bend out and connect the signal conditioning part, we are left with three elements. We're not replacing an element of the claim with something else. We're just totally eliminating that express recitation.
Let me ask you this. Does defending the judgment on which you prevailed depend on our agreeing with this theory of vitiation that you've just given us?
Yes, it does. It depends on your affirming the lower court's definition of turn. It depends upon you agreeing with the lower court that there's no literal infringement, and it depends upon your agreement with the lower court that there's no infringement under the doctrine of equivalence.
Let me ask, hypothetically, if we just interrupt for a moment?
I'm sorry.
If we were to disagree with you and or the district court just on the issue of vitiation, and there was summary judgment on vitiation, is it still your position that we should therefore remand? I mean, has the other side alleged that there's a function? Because there's still arguably a function way result analysis. Has that already been alleged and pleaded? And
have to be remanded. We don't believe that there is sufficient evidence in the record to substantiate a doctrine of equivalence argument at this point.
So
but we have not rebutted it. We have offered the vitiation argument, but we have not spoken directly towards the doctrine of equivalence argument.
So that would still be allowed to be handled either on some judgment or with the trial?
Yes, but that should not be reached, Your Honor. We are taking a four-element claim, making it into three elements. We're ignoring an express limitation in that claim. It's a binary situation like you have in several vitiating cases where a wire is either straight or it has a bend. If you're going to say that a wire that's claimed as having a bend is met by structure where that wire does not have a bend, you are vitiating that claim element. The entire doctrine of equivalence argument also depends upon borrowing the components of the signal conditioning part to make the right angle turn. This is a violation of the all elements rule. If you take that wire, the vertical wire, which is just a winding on a transformer, it's not has nothing to do with the contact, and you say, okay, this is part of the plurality of wires of the contact spring assembly, you're left with toroids that don't do signal conditioning because the wire is being borrowed to fulfill the doctrine of equivalence argument. So you cannot borrow an element from a separately defined element in the claim to vitiate an express claim limitation.
Was that one of the bases upon which the district court ruled?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, if we take the wire, the vertical wire, and say that that makes a right angle turn with the plurality of wires, we're left with no signal conditioning part because that wire is a transformer wire.
You'll say that that function would no longer be performed?
Absolutely.
Because what? Because of differences between the two wires that are soldered together?
Well, if you eliminate the wire from the transformer, then the transformer is not going to act. Now, if you're just saying, okay, we'll connect it to the horizontal wire with the toroid, that in fact is what the accused product does. It obviously works, but it totally vitiates the right angle turn element. There is an extra angle in there. Whether it's meaningful or not meaningful, there is an extra angle recited in that patent. And in order to ignore that extra angle is a clear case of vitiation, even if it still works. Now, let me talk about the direct infringement case, although do you have any questions on the direct infringement aspect? Let me talk about the turn. We didn't see the new definitions of turn, but
it would be helpful if you summarized whatever premises there are on which you might support the district court's judgment.
Of turn?
Yes.
Yes. The only objective evidence in the record were dictionary definitions which required the turn to be in a unitary object. The dictionary definition offered by Mr. Lee today is sort of different in that it talks about roads on which cars make turns, intersecting roads. But I don't think that definition applies to a wire, a straight wire, intersecting a block. Now, if you can say perhaps that a road intersecting another road might define a turn that a car can make. But if you're going to say that a wire that extends perpendicularly into the side of a solid block constitutes a turn, that is not supported by the record. There's a separate claim limitation for that angle, and that is that the plastic block is vertically oriented with respect to the plurality of wires. And that element has been already defined as defining a right angle between the wires and the plastic block. What Regal is saying here is that the right angle turn refers to exactly the same angle as the vertically oriented limitation refers to. And that is not the case. There are two separate angles being claimed in this patent, and the public is entitled to rely on that, Your Honor. Unless you have any other questions, I can talk about our own cross-appeal.
Any questions? Any questions? You can tell us anything you want in your remaining time, or you may rest on the briefs.
as far as the cross-appeal goes...
In the cross-appeal, you're arguing for just an alternative...
Definition of blot.
And why do you think that's a proper cross-appeal if you're just asking for an alternative claim construction to affirm the same verdict on infringement? I think that's an appropriate cross-appeal.
We believed it was an appropriate cross-appeal. The thermoplastic block, like contact spring assembly and many other terms that are used in the claims, are not defined in the specification anywhere. The reader is left to look at the drawings and compare them to the specification.
Why is it relevant? I couldn't tell because of the way this case reached us. Does this reflect actually on the structure of the accused device?
Yes, it does.
As to whether it's hollow or not?
Yes.
And is it hollow or is it solid?
The accused product has a, I wouldn't even call it a block, I'm not going to admit it's a block, but it's a framework type of structure, not a block by any means.
With air inside or space or what?
Yes. Yes.
And why has it been on the outside? Supported on the outside?
There's an L-shaped structure. The contact wires, which is part of the contact spring assembly, along with the L-shaped structure, are supported by the horizontal long arm of the L. Then at the end of the L, at the juncture of the downwardly facing arm of the L, the signal conditioning part is placed, and the wires of the transformer are connected to the contact wires of the contact spring assembly. There's no block that's there. One can imagine, possibly, that if you fill in the air around the signal conditioning block with the signal conditioning part with walls that are extending up from a lower platform, that there might be some sort of block there.
But the district court's claim construction didn't reach what happens on the inside, did it? Just the straight walls on the outside.
The district court's decision on the summary judgment?
On block.
On block, it was just a matter of claim construction, and we did not advise the court of the construction of the accused product, I don't think. So it was just a question of us proposing that the construction should be a solid, not hollowed out block.
Okay, and so you really took the cross appeal to preserve whatever rights you might have on remand to raise the issue?
That's right, Your Honor.
Okay.
The specification doesn't refer to block, it refers to a molded insert. It refers to a molded insert no less than 15 times. The drawings in the patent just show a cube in line drawing with the contacts somehow passing into the cube or block with the right angle turn at the end of the contacts with no visible means of support.
Okay, I think that's... We don't need to take the time. We are out of time. And you can brief it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ness. Mr. Reed.
Thank you. I think we need to return to the claim language itself, which says, wherein the contact spring assembly includes a plastic block that supports the plurality of wires by, meaning near, a right angle turn, and is vertically oriented with respect to the plurality of wires. For me, that's one angle. I don't see where there are two angles called for by that, unless you believe, as the district court does, the word turn simply can't ever make any sense if it's referring to two different structures. So in the court's analysis, I would like it to look back at the claim language and look out for the suggestion that this claim language itself designates a right angle bend in the plurality of wires. It doesn't. It simply designates a block supporting wires. Support is near a right angle turn. And There's also vertical orientation of the block with respect to the wires. That's all very supportive of Riegel's position. Secondly, with respect to the vitiation issue, Riegel was not given an opportunity to make its case under Wilson, under a wave function result test, and deserves that chance, because the difference between a soldered wire that turns at a right angle, where two wires form a turn by a solder connection between the two of them, and one bent wire can be practically indistinguishable. A skilled artisan could probably manufacture one wire out of two that makes a bend that no one could even tell the difference between. So I think that really does deserve adjudication. If the court doesn't agree with Riegel's turn analysis, at least we should have a shot at the doctrine of equivalence. Almost finally, there was a statement made that Riegel can't borrow the wire that comes off the top of the signal conditioning to form part of the right angle that we're talking about, because that wire is a signal conditioning component. That is not technically true. The wire is just a wire. It doesn't perform any signal conditioning until it's wrapped around a toroid or coupled with some other structure. So whether you have a right angle which contains a contact wire and a wire that eventually comes down and winds onto a toroid doesn't matter. A wire is a wire is a wire. Two wires soldered together at a right angle can form a right angle turn. What we need to get back to is the idea that turn is not such a strong, it doesn't have such a strong implication of unitary structure that it constitutes a public disclaimer to the world. Hey, we said turn. That means the wire itself has to turn, because only things themselves turn. That simply isn't true. That's not supported by common usage. It's not supported by the specification, and it is not the construction that most naturally aligns with the invention.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Reed, thank you. Mr. Askin, thank you. Case is taken into submission.